Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Now, let's go into the service for today's message.
We had such a wonderful first service, and I'm so glad you guys all came because you're in for a special treat. This morning, it's an honor for us to be visited by someone who we consider a friend. I first met Sam Liccardo right here in the auditorium. It was on a Thursday morning, and he had come to gather with a few of us pastors that meet on Thursdays, and we bowed our heads and we prayed together and we asked God for direction about how the church could work together with local government to make people's lives better and to make a difference in our city. And since that time, what I've experienced from this man and from his staff is that they are ready to engage with people to make San Jose a great place. And he's doing a great job. We love Mayor Sam Liccardo. Would you please welcome the Honorable Mayor of City of San Jose, Sam Liccardo. Come on, Sam, join us and tell us what's on your heart. Good to see you.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning. Good morning, and thank you, Pastor Dave, for your friendship and for your leadership in our community. Wow, it's my great pleasure to be with all of you. My name's Sam, and I work for you. And I really hope everyone is having a joyful and air-conditioned weekend. We are, yes, happy to be indoors right now. I'm here for two reasons. One is to say thank you. Thank you because I know the moniker is We Love the City. I can tell you our city loves Gateway, and I love Gateway because of what an incredible example you have set for the rest of our city about how a community can come together to support and to heal. Many of you know for some time now that Pastor Carol and Ray have been spearheading an effort with us called the All the Way Home Campaign, and this is an effort to get every one of our homeless veterans housed successfully, right? And so we launched this about a year and a half ago, and through a lot of hard work, we're starting to see some progress. We take a census of homeless people, as every city is required to do throughout the state, and in San Francisco, we saw that homeless veteran population increased about 22%. In Oakland, it increased 36%. In San Jose, it dropped. It dropped. It dropped in large part because of the support we have had from Gateway and wonderful people throughout this city in getting 725 homeless veterans permanently housed in the last year and a half. So thank you. And for those of you who have not met Maya Esparza, Maya, could you please stand? She's spearheading this effort. Yes. Maya is spearheading this effort on behalf of a nonprofit called Destination Home that works collaboratively with churches, with government, and with nonprofits to end homelessness. Obviously, we've got a lot more work to do, and we're going to keep doing it. We've got 80 veterans today who have vouchers in their hands, meaning they've got dollars that could be spent on rent, but they don't have an apartment to be able to lay their head down at night. So we want to do all we can to find rooms, to find apartments. We're grateful for the example that Ray has set for us, who just recently retired, I understand. Ray, congratulations, and thank you for your service to our country. Yes. But we know we need to ensure that these homeless vets stay successfully housed, and so your efforts to help us put together welcome home kits and provide fellowship and really help them in that transition is critical. So we look forward to your continued help. And if you want to get engaged and you haven't, you've been thinking about it, please talk to Maya. She's right here. She's got a very friendly face, and she is ready to get you involved. She'll smile and then reel you right in, as she does to the rest of us. Thank you for that. Thank you also. All of you know, we've seen the devastation in Houston thereabouts. Obviously, we had our own bout with floods in February, not nearly as devastating as what they're seeing, but clearly for thousands of our families who are struggling, so many of you stepped up in a big way. And in particular, here at Gateway, you housed the Team Rubicon, These were veterans who were helping us in relief and recovery in neighborhoods like Rock Springs. And I wanted to say thank you to all of you who helped to house and support the Rubicon team in their efforts. What we saw through that flood, obviously, was devastating. And we had thousands of families who were struggling. We have worked diligently to try to get every one of those families back into permanent, stable housing again, starting with more than 1,000. We're now down to 40 families still needing permanent, stable housing. We're going to keep pushing, but we've done it because we had 3,000 donors step up and contribute dollars to help people get housed. We had more than 4,000 volunteers join us in the neighborhoods to clean up and to help folks get back into their homes. You know, this, more than anything to me, told me why I love the city so much, because we saw people come together as you do every week, and you demonstrate your heart for our city and our community. So thank you. Now, here comes the ask. It wouldn't be appropriate for a politician to have the mic if I wasn't asking you for something, right? All right, so we got more to do. So we'd love to have your engagement in small or big ways. Here's the deal. We call it Beautify SJ. We know, as we see in our freeways, in our parks, our streets, that the condition of our city has degraded. We see the trash, we've seen the graffiti, we see the dumping, all the things that tell us we shouldn't love our city, but we do love our city. And so we're gonna take our city back. Here's how we're doing it. We just launched this effort called Beautify SJ. Now, we know lots of folks need to step up on the government side, right? Caltrans is supposed to maintain our freeways, so we're nagging them because they won't even allow us on the freeways to clean them. So we're telling them they gotta do more, so they've committed more dollars and they're hiring our San Jose Conservation Corps teams to help them clean up. So we're gonna find out in the next few months whether we're gonna see better looking freeways soon, because we know they look awful now. And we're gonna hold them accountable and you're gonna hold us accountable. And then on the city side, we know we got a lot more work to do. The challenge is your city actually has the most thinly staffed city hall of any major city in the country. Long story as to how we got there, but we lost about a third of our employees just through the Great Recession. And so we naturally need to leverage the great energy and commitment of our community to really get things done, So how are we going to do that? Well, we are, for example, trying to make it easier for you. We launched a free large junk pickup service. So anytime you got a mattress or a couch or something, you just call us. We pick it up within 48 hours. That way it doesn't get dumped somewhere. We'll get there first. We are bolstering our rapid response anti-dumping team. And so this is a great crew of young men. I was out there with them just a few weeks ago. And they're going to the hot spots wherever dumping is reported, and they're cleaning it up right away as soon as it's reported. But we need you to report. So that gets this next stage. That is reporting. So we've got a little app. We just launched it a few weeks ago. It is free. Emphasis free. Okay, right? All right, so who doesn't like free stuff, especially politicians? Okay, so it's called My San Jose. You can download it for your Apple or for your Samsung or whatever smartphone you got. And My San Jose enables you to take a picture of the abandoned vehicle or the streetlight that needs to get repaired, or the illegal dumping, or the graffiti, or whatever it might be. Take a picture, push the button, it goes to the right city department, we're able to respond more quickly, and we tell you what the status is by your smartphone. We tell you when we're gonna come out and pick it up or deal with it. If it needs a replacement part or whatever, it tells you. We tell you how long that's gonna take, and we tell you when it's done. And this is a way in which we're going to all participate to beautify our city. And we're going to keep launching other efforts. For example, we're just announcing these small little grants. We've got $5,000 grants. We're calling them Beautify SJ grants for any neighborhood, any school that wants to take a neglected corner of their city and beautify it. Maybe it's a wall that gets covered with graffiti and we want to put up a beautiful mural, or maybe it's a vacant lot and we want to plant a beautiful community garden. We put some dollars involved into it. We get you some volunteers. You work with your volunteers as well, and we make great things happen. So this is how we're going to beautify our city. And we love volunteer effort. So we have seen litter cleanups and pickups launched throughout the city now. We've had 38 so far to date, more than 5,000 volunteers. On September 16th, we're going to be focusing particularly on our creeks because it's coastal cleanup day throughout the country. And so we're going to have large teams of volunteers doing it there. We would love to have you embrace, for example, adopt a trail, which is, you have a beautiful trail here behind the church. Any way that you want to get involved with us, get on our website. It's beautifysj.org. And you can find out who's doing what and whether or not you want to get involved with a group that's already doing something or maybe start a group of your own. We are doing this because we've had incredible energy from churches like Gateway, from organizations, one you probably have never heard of. They're called the Trash Punks. There's a bunch of young guys who get out there with churches and other groups, and they just pick up litter. God love them. They're great. So we would love to have you involved with us in various ways. BeautifySJ.org. Working with you, we're going to beautify San Jose. Thank you all. And thank you, Pastor Dave.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
All right. Great. Trash Punks, huh? Maybe we need to get a group called Sin Punks or something. I don't know. Let's just clean up our city, all right? Hey, guys, lots of great stuff coming in the rest of the service. Pastor Carol, come on and join me up here. As you may or may not know, Gateway City Church is partnering. We have a twin organization called Gateway Community Outreach. So that's one arm is our church, and the other arm reaching out to embrace our city is Gateway Community Outreach. And this beautiful lady right here is a part of our pastoral team. She's over women's ministry, but also the executive director of Gateway Community Outreach. And she does a lot of great stuff, and you're going to hear a lot of great testimonies and stories today. So would you please give a hand to Pastor Carol Cohen as she's... Carol, take it from here, all right? Take it away.
We are excited for the opportunity to be able to share with you some of the things that have happened this past year. You know, our desire for GCO has always been that we represent the heart of God to our city, that we go out and find tangible ways to address areas of pain. And last September, we were able to present to you our vision and the things that we wanted to accomplish. And it's so exciting to be able to come back this year and now be able to show you some of the things that was actually happened this year. So, but in doing so, that reminded me of a passage in Scripture in Ezekiel 47. Talks about an amazing river, a healing river that flows past the trees, flows past the... on either side of the river, the areas that were thriving. It went into the dry and parched areas, right down into the waterless desert places, into the Dead Sea. And verse 9 says that when it reached the sea, its waters were healed, and things began to live wherever the river goes, because the river flows from the sanctuary. And we know that this represents the river. The river represents the very presence of God. And here at Gateway, we experience the presence of God. And this river flows out from Gateway, and it goes into the city, into the dry and parched areas, into the places that need healing. And wherever the river flows from this Gateway, lives are transformed. And we're going to tell you today about some of those stories. You're going to love it. So, and our stories start right here in the building, right here at our duck pond with Ms. Sarah Bell, who's the executive director.
Hi, good morning. For those of you that don't know, the Kid City area transforms into an indoor and outdoor play space during the week that we belovedly call Duck Pond Play Space. And it is an award-winning indoor facility where families come with their children, 0 to 5 years old, to play and hang out and just make a community for themselves. It has become something that we have regulars come to on a daily and weekly basis where they can experience life with other parents and grow together while their kids are playing in a safe and clean environment, and they're learning and growing together as well. Just over the past year, we've had over 8,000 families come through those doors, which is amazing. And not only that, 80% of them are returning families on a monthly basis, which means they are wanting this and they are thriving there. We have so many stories of families learning about the Duck Pond first and becoming regulars, and then wanting to know more about the church on the other side, wanting to know who are these people that are impacting and influencing our community, and then they come over to this side and learn more as well. And Catherine is next.
Thanks, Tara. I'm Catherine Kong. I'm the Assistant Director of Gateway Community Outreach. And as Tara mentioned, we're reaching families right here in our building and out in the community. We're impacting lives. So I'm going to talk about how we engage our community through our Gateway Gives program. Each year, we do several Gateway Gives drives to serve the needs of the community. We use these as entry points to build deeper, more meaningful relationships with people in need and with organizations working in the community. So our numbers from last year, we collected 95 coats, 60 backpacks, 130 hygiene kits, and 240 Christmas gifts, which we ended up giving out to families in difficult situations right here in our building, as well as in local neighborhoods, to human trafficking victims, to veterans, and to local schools, either directly or through our partner organizations. And there's a list of them up there. We'll be highlighting some of these later on, but I want to share one story of someone that I met in our Las Casitas neighborhood when we dropped off Christmas gifts for her grandchildren 2 years ago. She, through these gifts, we started just building a relationship with her, and over the last few years, I just would go out and visit her and check in with her every time I was there. A few months ago, she asked me about being water baptized, and we just so happened to have a baptism service the next Sunday. So she and her family came out, they were water baptized, and they've been attending Gateway every week since then. Yeah. So that's one way we engage our community. Now I'll be shifting our focus into how we serve our neighborhoods. We've targeted several neighborhoods in our city because they're underserved communities with complex needs, including crime, gang activity, and drug use. Many of the families are low-income immigrants who are navigating a life that looks very different from the American dream. Our programs are all designed to build a strong and supportive environment for families. The first neighborhood we'll be looking at is Las Casitas, which is a Section 8 apartment complex. With over 200 units, it's located in North San Jose. They've invited us in to operate programs that are meaningful for this community. Up until this point, our work has mostly been focused on assessing the needs and building trust with the residents through community surveys, house visits, events, and our Gateway Gives program. Many of the English-speaking residents have welcomed us in. We've been supporting families who are dealing with grief, cancer, domestic violence, mental health challenges, and more. I want to share the story of one family that I've come to love. They're very dear to my heart. We met them at our pumpkin painting party last October, and the mother had recently been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. Through a gift from Santa Clara County Parks, we were able to take this family to the Fantasy of Lights Christmas event in December. At Fasona Park, and sadly the mother passed away a few months after that. But we still go out a few times every month to just play with the daughter and to check in with the family, and they always talk about how special we made their last Christmas together, and they'll be joining our grief share group in a few weeks. Our challenge has been to reach the Vietnamese residents, which make up over 90% of the community, but we're so excited to announce that God's brought us the perfect leaders, Anthony and Deborah Trong, who are here. And they have some amazing ideas to impact this community. I'm really excited about the beautiful things that are in store for Las Casitas. And while we're introducing new team members, I want to introduce Primo Ramos, who is our newest addition to our Edenvale team, who's joining Art Herrera out in Edenvale. So.
Thank you, Catherine. So I have the privilege of working in the Edenville Roundtable neighborhood. I've been doing that for about a year now with an amazing group of volunteers. They are there week after week. They are committed. They love the community. For those of you who don't know, the Edenville Roundtable neighborhood is right off of Blossom Hill and Monterey Road. In particular, the apartments right behind it, it's a very low-income community. Most of the apartments there have they're two-bedroom apartments, and a lot of them can have two families living in them with four, five, six, seven, or even eight kids. I know that there's, in particular, one apartment where there's two families living in a two-bedroom apartment, and each one has eight kids. So there's, 20 kids living in one apartment. So most of the adults there are immigrants and can only speak Spanish. There's also a large percentage of single parent homes with only the mothers present. One of the things that we've learned in our time there is that the fathers are absent. They're either working two, three jobs to make ends meet, or are simply uninvolved in their children's lives. They're just not around. So as you can imagine, living in a situation like that can be extremely hard. There's poverty, there's alcoholism, there's drug addiction, there's loneliness. So there's just a sense of desperation in a lot of these families. I do love working there because that's my story. I come from similar circumstances. When I see the kids, when I look at the kids, I see myself in them, and I see my mom and all those ladies there. But how is Gateway helping? We started a sports program, which includes basketball, soccer, and taekwondo. Every week, we are reaching over 50 kids with these programs. They're having a lot of fun. They're getting a lot of exercise. But most importantly, our amazing volunteers, which we call coach mentors, are connecting with the kids, relating with the kids. Every week after our game, we have implemented a character building program. So every week, they break them into small groups, and our volunteers lead discussions on character building skills such as respect, responsibility, forgiveness, and more. And of course, on Tuesday night, we have our Bible study. The adults and the children are learning what their true identity in Christ is. They're learning that they do have purpose and that things are going to get better. We've had over 20 lives saved, actually, there. The parents tell me how... The parents tell me how grateful they are for what we're doing there. Let me tell you about Javier. When I knocked on the door to their apartment, the door was open, and the family was sitting in the living room having a conversation. I told them that I was there to invite their children to our free taekwondo class. The mother jumped up and invited me in. They were actually just talking about Javier. That was actually the mom right there in the center. The parents are divorced. He doesn't get along with his father. They live in a crowded apartment, and that's actually him right there throwing the basketball. He was starting to hang out with the wrong crowd and was really acting up. The family was extremely worried about him. Well, fast forward a few months later, Javier is now a purple belt in Taekwondo. He is attending our basketball program and taking all his friends. He's going to Tuesday night Bible study with his mom, and he's changed a lot. We've seen a lot of growth in him, and she tells me that they have never been this close in many years. So this is why Gateway is so involved in the community. We believe that just like with Javier's family, we are making a difference. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, Art. I love working with Art. That's one of my highlights. So I want to shift our focus to our response to the floods earlier this year. As Mayor Sam mentioned, we hosted Team Rubicon here at our facility. We house them. We provide provided food as well for 2 weeks while they performed safety assessments on buildings and homes affected by the flood. We also hosted a disaster response training through City Team Ministries, and we had representatives from Gateway as well as churches from all over San Jose attend and learn practical ways to get involved after the flood. And we also connected with Manuel, who was a flood victim in the Rock Springs neighborhood, and we were able to pray with him, but also provide him and his family with a Target gift card, hygiene items, and other items that had been destroyed by the flood. And now, I want to direct your attention to a video about San Jose, the city that we love.
San Jose. Bright and shining city. The city we call home. San Jose, city of diversity, connection, innovation, and abundance. The city where we live, work, and love. We love this city, this urban, suburban sprawl. From Santana Row in the west to taco trucks in the east. From Mineta Airport in the north to the Golden Hills in the south. We love this city with the river running right through. We love this city, capital of the Silicon Valley, mecca for startups, hotbed for technological innovation, this foreign-born kaleidoscope, mosaic of language and culture, food and dress. From mochi in Japantown, to cannoli in Little Italy, to boba in Vietnamtown, and pan dulce on Willow Street, we savor the diversity of our heritage. We love this city. Study breaks on the Tower Hall lawn, while students breakdance outside the King Library, local art in the Sofa District, double showings at the drive-in. We love this city, where earthquakes rule the field and sharks the ice. And most of all, we love these people. Suited executives, overscheduled families, the frazzled barista working three jobs to make rent, our homeless brothers and sisters passing time in St. James Park. Once this city was called the Valley of the Heart's Delight, with orchards as far as the eye could see, supplying produce throughout California and beyond. Though the landscape has changed, its identity remains the same. This land is fertile with opportunity and hope. This city births ideas that shape the world. San Jose, center point for connection, innovator of ideas, influencer of the world. San Jose, bright and shining city, the city we call home. San Jose, we love this city.
Isn't that a great video? Shout out to Mason Williams, who did the videography. And also to Catherine Kong, who wrote the script. Wasn't that amazing? Shout out to Catherine. We love this city. And each year in the city, we identify additional populations that might be likely to benefit from the services we're able to provide. So this year, we provided jackets and sweatshirts for foster children. We also did some training for parents, and we provided a night out for parents of foster care children. We also provided a Christmas Eve service for those who've experienced the loss of a loved one. And it was a safe place, an emotionally safe place for people to process grief during the holiday season. And that was an amazing time. We also did a lot of work with the homeless veteran population, which Mayor Liccardo mentioned earlier. But Ray Watts has been leading our efforts to serve this very special population, and he's going to tell you more about that. Ray.
All right, Gateway. Let me give praise and honor and glory to our Father and God. Pastor David, Pastor Kathy, Mr. Mayor, God bless you. Thanks. Well, in the military, we use a lot of acronyms. And one of my favorite acronyms is called BLUF. B-L-U-F. At the end of the day, it means bottom line up front. And I'll just leave you with this. Bottom line up front, we are having a significant impact on the homeless veterans here in Santa Clara County. I got to tell you, I was tempted to come up here and say, whatever the mayor said, I'm out. That's it. I can't top that. But at the end of the day, if you look at the numbers and the statistics as to where we came from, as to where we are today, it's no surprise to me, and I know it's not a surprise to the congregation here, that God is still at work. We serve a God of the living, the God of not only natural, but supernatural. And he do things that we can't even imagine. And I'm going to keep asking, Lord, what do you want me to do? And sometimes he tells me things I'm not sure about. But as we all know in the book of Joshua, right? Be bold and strong. Fear not, for the Lord thy God is with you. So to reflect on where we've come from, we started off with about 703 approximate veterans that needed a place to stay in Santa Clara County. That didn't take into account the additional 260 plus that were coming into the program on a regular basis. Now let's spring forward. Through the vision of the mayor, Maya, and the pastor, we've significantly reduced the number of homeless veterans here in the county. 725 veterans now have a home. And that is a blessing. While some of the other counties are still struggling, bottom line up front, we're doing the right thing. The numbers support that. So let's continue to give praise and honor and glory to God, and let's stay focused on the prize. And the prize is to take care of our brothers and our sisters. We still have a ways to go, and that's where you come in. Continue to pray. Pray for this leadership. Pray for this mayor. Pray for everyone that's supporting our programs throughout the county. And more importantly, pray for yourself. Because at the end of the day, it is the relationship you have with our Father that allows you to do the things that you can never imagine you would get done. Together, we can do a lot more than what we're doing. And it's a blessing to be affiliated and associated with such a great congregation, an outstanding leadership team, and more importantly, supporting a Father that I know was well engaged in what we're doing on a day-to-day basis. So I got to give him the praise and honor and glory. And to that, now I can drop the mic. I'm out. So.
Awesome. Well, one of the most exciting things for me, aside from all of the work that you've heard so far, is the way we're able to see Gateway City Church and Gateway City Outreach connect. Volunteers are coming forward and finding their place. We're finding that some of our volunteers looking for a place to serve, maybe they didn't feel that preaching or teaching or being on the worship team was part of their skill set, but they've been able to find a place to serve through these externally focused outreach opportunities. So they found their place. And so we're really grateful for that. And we've had some really strong feedback from people who found their passion and seen what they found a place to serve, what they wanted to do, and they're really enjoying engaging in the community. But maybe you have gifts of service that you would want to use to help make a difference in our community. You want to be part of this team. So you have a couple of things at your seat. You have a booklet like this that shows more about the work that we're doing. And here's also a Go Opportunities leaflet. So all of the work, contact information for the different persons who's leading the efforts that you're hearing about today is there. So take one of these and connect with an opportunity that is interesting to you. We'd love for you to join us and start using your skills to make a difference in our community. So another one of our focus areas of focus is justice ministries. And to have an effective social justice presence in San Jose, we focused on three areas that are causing pain in the community. One of them is the socioeconomic disparity, the difference between the haves and the have-nots. And you've heard some of the giving opportunities that we've engaged with that community. Racial tension is another area, and you're going to hear some more about that in a minute. And human trafficking. So human trafficking is modern-day slavery. It's one of the most prevalent concerns in the community, and it encompasses both sex trafficking and labor trafficking. It's the second largest criminal industry in the world, and it's prevalent in Silicon Valley. The Bay Area is a hot spot for human trafficking, and it happens all around us. Parents are actually selling their children in exchange for drugs. Runaway children, 70% from the foster care system, are being recruited into the traffic industry. And laborers are forced to work in restaurants or massage parlors to pay off unfair debts. Modern slaves hidden in plain sight. They're all around us. So our approach has been to support organizations whose core competency is in helping this population, and we want to help them be as successful as possible. So we've strengthened our partnership with two organizations, strategically chosen. One of them is Love Never Fails, and that's an anti-human trafficking organization. They actually go out onto the street, and they engage with girls that are involved in the industry, and they in many cases, rescue them on the spot or connect with them later. And then there's also The Nest, which is a part of Advent Group Ministries. And it's an aftercare recovery home. So after the girls are rescued, they need to be cared for. So we're providing services and support to both of these organizations. How, you might ask? Well, let me tell you. We created 15 welcome boxes for girls who are actually brought in, and they need things. They need toiletries. They need all kinds of things. So our women's ministry created 15 boxes, and we give half to Love Never Fails and half to The Nest. And they've been very appreciative of that. And these have hygiene items and all kinds of things that women just don't have when they come in. And then Love Never Fails has two outreaches in San Jose a year, and one of them was just on August 19th. And we actually took a team of 12 who went out onto the streets, and we engaged with some homeless and some of the girls who've been exploited. And if you missed out on that one and you want to be a part of it, we're going to have another one in November. And you can find out more information about that in the lobby after the service. We also went out to The Nest. They invited us to come out. That's their aftercare recovery home. And it's an unpublished address, so to be invited out there was amazing. But we went out and we prayed and we dedicated their property as a place set apart for God's purposes to restore these lives. And we took 10 powerful prayer warriors out, and we poured into their staff for several hours, and it was an amazing time. And the girls feel like that the women there who are in the staff feel like that they're covered, and we were going to cover them in things like that they're facing. There's a what's called vicarious trauma that's associated with helping human trafficking victims, because the staff has to relive the trauma over and over again. So you're going to hear about our racial reconciliation work that we're doing, and this is John Newton and Quincy Sumner. Yay.
Thanks, Pastor Carol. Good morning, Gateway. Good morning, Mayor Licardo. Welcome. Glad we got a few minutes to spend with you this morning. Quincy and I, we're here up on stage to tell you all about what Gateway Community Outreach is doing in order to be a positive force for racial reconciliation in our church and in our city.
Because we love this city.
Isn't that the truth?
That's
right?
What the t-shirts say.
That's right. Why racial reconciliation, you might be asking yourself. Why in our diverse 21st century Bay Area do we have this initiative? Why right here at Gateway City Church do we have racial reconciliation efforts? Please, friends, I'd like to suggest what some of you know all too well, and others might be surprised to find out. This is here now. Racial Reconciliation Forums is here now because of a need. This is in response to a need. We're not doing this to raise an interesting issue. We're not doing this to have another conversation for the sake of another conversation as if that's what we need. This conversation is already happening. If you're looking outside and you're seeing what's going on the internet and whatnot, it's happening outside our walls, friends. It's happening already inside our walls. So the question is for us as the church and all of its diverse members, for all of our sakes, are we going to be at the lead of this conversation or are we going to be scrambling to catch up? All right? May I suggest, honestly, that we maintain a conversation here at Gateway that advocates healing for the people of the city, as well as does something to reestablish any body of Christ disunity. We want to get that out, and we want to be together in unity. Amen? Yeah. All right. So I'll ask again, why racial reconciliation? Because, friends, through body of Christ unity and love, all of God's sons and daughters, seriously, should receive the full measure of justice and the full measure of abundant life that God promises from of old and that Jesus secured at the cross. Why? Because this is God's heart.
Now, we were going to accomplish this through a biblically anchored and heart of God-driven holistic approach to racial reconciliation. We've been having very positive, productive, candid conversations because in English, these times are tough. And you might be wondering, how should I feel? Well, we're teaching what the scriptures say as the body of Christ, because our goal is to educate, to equip you, and most importantly, empower you to be effective advocates for racial reconciliation within all your circles, all your peers, all your just your world.
Right. We're all about helping you to be positioned for effective advocacy, all right? We're not about promoting any particular cause. Why? Because the just cause is they have you to advocate them for them, all right? What our goal is as an organization is to empower you to stand up and be driven by God's heart. This is what effective advocacy means from our perspective. This is what we want to help us with, is that you be driven by God's heart, that you be guided by God's word. That makes effective advocacy for racial reconciliation. And that we all be tempered as an organization and as a force for this through solid wisdom, all right? We can't help, honestly, but believe that this is going to have a positive effect, a positive impact on our city, mm-hmm. right? Even as it has already positively affected Gateway City Church.
Mm-hmm. Since February, we've hosted forums every other month. And again, like John said, we've had a tremendous positive response. In these discussions, participants really have a chance to hear diverse perspectives that you may not be getting. One thing I'm very proud is that we really succeed in creating a safe environment where people can be heard. I believe this is important because there is a lot of pain in our communities because of lack of empathy. Can the church say that word with me? Empathy? Amen. We're helping people discover that understanding one another takes away so much of what we thought we had to fear from each other. Through scriptural teachings, we're empowering people to be more aware of the true meaning of diversity and to educate others. We want Christians to really act consistently with what Christ has taught us.
We've also been blessed of late to have Pastor Chandler Cleveland join our racial reconciliation team. In fact, he actually, he ran our last forum event. And it was a great session of teaching. He brings to our organization tremendous experience, expertise, just general personal wisdom. It's really been a blessing. I want you to experience that, especially with him being a part of us. It's really going to be blessing the people of our city. So what's next? What's next is we have our October forum event. All right, this happens on the first, this is every other month, like Quincy had mentioned, and it's on the first Wednesday of those months. So our next one is going to be October 4th. That's going to be a Wednesday night. That's going to be right over there in the cafe that you're all familiar with, 7 o'clock, October 4th. We want you to come out and join us for that and be a part of it. In the meantime, though, if you want to get connected with us, please look for our Facebook page. It's GCO Reconciliation. Join it, like it. You'll get all the invitations, all the notifications. And also today you can go outside in the forum, the foyer, and we're going to be out there and you can sign up for our email list and you'll be contacted via email.
So if you want to learn what Gateway City Church is doing about racial reconciliation, please join us. If God has put it on your heart to do something about just these times and maybe the confusion and just fear, I welcome you to join us, myself and John. I'm proud to say, as a new member of this church, I'm not as blessed as my wife, Pastor Nicole, who worships with you every Sunday, but I am passionate about this topic. So I welcome every one of you, and be blessed all.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. An amazing team. Can I hear it for our Gateway Community Outreach team? I'm telling you what, this is the A team. I'm so proud of the work that our leaders are doing in the community. So we've heard a lot this morning about how GCO is being intentional about helping hurting people in the community. And it was fairly easy to identify the hurting people in the Rock Springs neighborhood. Their homes were flooded. Or children who've been sex trafficked, or veterans who are now homeless. You can see that. But sometimes you can't tell who's hurting just by looking at them. It's not easy to identify someone who's been scarred through the injustice of prejudice or racial bias, or to see the emotional impact caused by someone being labeled low income all through their childhood, or by growing up without a father. It's not easy to see the tremendous pressure a mom may feel when she's having to work two or three jobs just to make ends meet, or the fear that a father may face when he loses his job. Sometimes you can't tell who's hurting just by looking at them. In fact, you may be sitting right next to someone who's hurting right now and not know it. Or you may be the one that's hurting. But for those that are hurting today, I've got some really good news. And here it is. Even if no one else sees your pain, God sees it, and he's made some promises that he intends to keep. So the first promise is this: he's close to you when you need him the most. Psalms 34:18 says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. He delivers those who are discouraged." Sometimes you just feel all alone when you're facing things, but God's not going to pull back from you. He's going to be close to you. The second promise is he won't leave you in the middle of your trouble. You know, sometimes you get into the middle of things and you didn't quite think it through, or you don't have the resources, or you just run out of energy. But God says he's not going to leave you in the middle of your trouble. In fact, Isaiah 43 says, "When you face stormy seas, I'll be there with you with endurance and calm. You won't be engulfed in raging rivers. If it seems like you're walking through fire with flames licking at your limbs, keep going, because you won't be burned. Because I, the Eternal One, am your God, and I will save you." Isn't that a great promise? Here's a third promise, and this is, I think, one that's the most amazing to me. He will restore what you've lost. He has the ability and the power to do that. It says in Deuteronomy 30, verse 3, it says, "God, your God, will restore everything you lost." How do you restore something that's lost? It's gone. He'll have compassion on you. He'll come back and he'll pick up the pieces from all the places where you were scattered. That's because nothing's too hard for God. Nothing's too hard. In fact, God promises you the impossible. Joel 2:25 says, "I will restore the years that the locust has eaten." Now, somebody just came up and showed me a picture of what they thought was a locust between services that they saw on the property. And I thought, well, isn't that interesting? Go away. For four consecutive years, the Israelites had experienced a loss of harvest. It was completely wiped out. So these swarms of locusts had just come in. They marched in like an insect army through the fields, destroying everything, crops, pastures, for the sheep and the cattle. It says it even stripped the bark off the fig trees. And not just once. This was for 4 years running. The crops were gone. Even the seed that they needed for planting the next crop was gone. It was over. Or was it? It could be that you're facing situations that seems to have this same kind of hopeless finality to it. I think about the people in Houston who've lost their homes and what that must feel like to stand there and see everything that you've worked for all these years. It's just gone. It's gone. But you could have lost your home, maybe not through flood. You may have lost some things, your home, or that was priceless to you, through foreclosure or other things. or you lost a job or a relationship that was really important to you. And if that's the case, our hope is to come to the same place that the Israelites came, and that place was on their knees. Joel 2:12 says, "Even now, says the Lord, turn and come to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning, until every barrier is removed and the broken fellowship is restored." He is the restorer. Do you want to hear the rest of the locust story? Good. So in the coming years, God said that their fields would yield an abundance that would make up for what had been lost. Isn't that amazing? Joel 2:24 and 26 says, "The threshing floor will be full of grain, and the vats will overflow with wine and oil, and you'll eat plenty and be satisfied." That same promise of more than enough is for us today. We may go through trouble, and we all do, but we have a God who brings restoration. Aren't you glad? Isaiah 61:7 says, and this is another great promise, "For your shame you shall have double, and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion, and therefore in their land they'll possess the double, and everlasting joy will be for them." You're not just going to get back what you lost. You get back double. In the Amplified Bible, the verse says you're going to have a twofold recompense. And that word recompense is the same word that's used for workman's compensation. And, you know, when you have workman's compensation, that's if you get injured on a job, you get the workers' compensation pay. So you get paid back for what you have suffered. Some of us have been really struggling because of loss we've experienced in our life caused by locusts. Maybe our locusts, we've lost years to a bad marriage, or maybe you've lost years to health problems, or maybe you've suffered a loss. Maybe your locust has been due to a bad economy, or maybe your locust is just because you've messed up and made mistakes, and we've all done it. But whatever it is, it's cost you dearly. And it seems like maybe there's a finality to it. But here's some really good news. More. His mercy is new every morning. Lamentation 3:22 says, "Certainly the faithful love of the Lord hasn't ended. God's compassion isn't through. They're renewed every morning. Great is your faithfulness." Amen. God said, "My mercy is greater than your mistakes. I'm a master at fixing any disaster." All right? A master at fixing your disaster. God loves us just that much. Whether our locust comes from things we did, things somebody else did to us, or from the enemy who's stolen from us, God is still our restorer. You may have received some bad news this week. Maybe you got a report that's contrary to everything you know and believe from God. His promise, even during this time, will give you new life. It'll cause you to thrive. It'll cause you to be strong if you choose to believe the word of the Lord rather than the word on the street. You got to choose to believe the word of the Lord rather than the word on the street. Psalms 119, my last scripture, says, "Remember your word to your servant, for you have given me hope. This is what comforts me in my trouble, for your promise revives me." Yes. Let's hold on to his promises, and aren't you glad that we serve a God of restoration?
Yes.
God bless you. Woo.
Amen.
Thank you.
Why don't you just bow your heads and close your eyes right where you are. I can feel this message really connecting with so many people. It's touching me, and the worship team is coming, and I just want to pray for each and every one of us that you may be experiencing loss or pain, as Pastor Carol spoke about. I want to challenge you to do something. I want you to invite Christ into your pain. Invite Christ into your circumstance. Invite him into what's happening in your life. He's a gentleman. He won't kick any doors down. But he will knock politely
As it says in Revelation 3, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man will open to me, I'll come in, and I will sup with him and he with me." And so Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. He's knocking maybe through some of the circumstances you've been through, and you think, why is this happening to me? It could be that God is using that to get your attention, because he so wants to come into your life and help you to turn that around. Lord, I pray for everyone who's in a circumstance right now. They feel so disconnected, far away from you, and maybe hopeless. And we hear the knock of trouble. We hear the knock of the locusts and the problems, and we make a decision today, Lord, to give you access to our lives. Father God, please enter into our hearts big time. Take over our families. Take over our problems. Heal us, forgive us, and save us, Lord. As you're just sitting there this morning, this afternoon, just imagine your heart opening to Christ. And just say, Jesus, come in, come in. Get into my pain, get into my life. I invite you in. And that's really all you have to do. And he says, if you believe in me, you'll have everlasting life. We receive this, Lord, and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Have you enjoyed being with us together as a community? How many have enjoyed this service this morning? I want to thank Pastor Carroll, thank Mayor Liccardo and his team. What a tremendous joy it's been to be together. We're going to dismiss in just a few minutes, but we have our generosity time. A couple of things are going to happen. We're going to have an opportunity to show our love and generosity to Gateway Community Outreach, Gateway City Church, and if you recall, as I mentioned before, about the Houston flood situation. So if you're giving, now is the time, and I want to thank each of you that are, you know, regular in your support to your church. But I mentioned that we're getting our arms around the city through a church called Gateway, but also through a community outreach, which is a separate organization. It's got its own budget. It's got its own accounting system. And we'd like to do more to reach out. We really would like to do more. This isn't for an organization in New York or Australia or even San Francisco. This is for us. This is our community outreach, Gateway Community Outreach. So here's what I'm going to challenge you to do. If you're giving to the church, I want to thank you for that, and I want you to keep doing that, because the work of the church and discipleship and evangelism and all of that, this is what it's all about. But that other arm that's reaching out to hug our city, to love our city, is Gateway Community Outreach. And I just want to challenge you, if maybe God would prompt you to become, as Kathy and I have, monthly partners with Gateway Community Outreach. $20 a month, $40 a month, $60 a month, whatever God would lay on your heart, you can give on a regular basis through that beautiful Push Pay app, which I love so much. Be careful with the zeros, though, because it adds a lot of zeros fast. You might get in trouble if you have a heavy finger, all right? But if you're looking for a way to get engaged, become a partner with Gateway Community Outreach. Give your tithes and offerings, but then above and beyond that, do something every month for GCO. That'll make a huge difference, and we'll be able to transform many, many more lives. Let's get both arms around this city, all right? Gateway City Church and Gateway Community Outreach. We're loving our city. I want to thank you for your generosity. And in a few minutes, the worship team's going to lead us in a song. We're going to have a little celebration here. And at the same time, our friends on the prayer team are going to come forward. And if you came today with a spiritual need in your life, you need healing prayer or you need a family prayer, whatever it is, you're looking for someone to pray with you, our prayer teams are going to be available in just a moment. You'll see them coming up as we worship the Lord. Right now, the ushers are going to come and serve you. Thank you for your generous giving. And don't forget our friends in Houston. Mark your giving envelope, or if you're using that beautiful Push Pay app, you know, there it says Houston Flood Relief. Make sure we know exactly what you're giving to, and we'll make sure those funds get out to the right people, all right? I love each and every one of you. I'll be back in just a moment. Let's worship the Lord with our giving, and let's allow God's healing love just to touch us right where we are.
churches in San Jose. Let's join with the hundreds, thousands of Christians in our Bay Area. Worship Him together.
All the earth will shout Your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing.
Sing it out.
Let's lift our hand and receive the blessing of the Lord. Lift your hands and let me bless you. Father, I pray Your grace and Your peace, Your healing love and Your power rest strong on us. Lord, thank You for taking out of us a stony heart and giving us a heart that is tender, Lord. A heart of love for our city, a heart of love for all people. That, Lord, You would make us the church that You have called us to be, the very body of Christ. Let grace and peace rest upon Your people now in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. I love each and every one of you guys. Hey, before you go, listen, you can connect with all the ministries that you heard about in the lobby, okay? Our teams will be out there. And also the events that you heard about in today's service or in the bulletin, check them out and get connected. All right, get resourced for what God is doing. God bless you. You are dismissed.